And you're basically overseeing McComb's application through the, I guess, the federal process?
Right. We're in the process right now of preparing a National Register nomination for the McComb Courthouse Square District. And the application goes through a local process where it's reviewed by the local Historic Preservation Commission, recommended by the City Council here, and then sent to the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency. And once the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency reviews it, then they send it on to the National Park Service, and then it becomes listed on the National Park Service.
Where is it right now? Where is the application?
Where is it right now? This draft that we prepared at the end of 2012, the draft application is in the offices of the IHPA right now, and they're looking at it. And then on February 22nd, is when the council that reviews these things in Springfield will meet to look at it. It's an appointed council, appointed by the governor, you know, people who have other kinds of occupations, but they come in and serve on this council. And it's called the Illinois Historic Sites Advisory Council. And they meet, and then the staff from the preservation agency makes their recommendation. And so a lot of the discussion today was on things that had been told to us by Andrew Heckenkamp, who is the staff person at the preservation agency that has worked back and forth with us. He's been in Macomb, walked around, he's met with, you know, the commission and so forth. So, you know, we that's why we feel that the application we have at this point, and we're comfortable, will probably get approved. But obviously, if, you know, people here would like to make some other changes to it, that's, you know, that would be a different approach.
And I guess the recommendation or the approval, whatever it is that they would make, would be to forward it on to the federal government and say this should be a national historic district?
That's exactly right.
All right.
Yeah, they're an advisory board, so they make a recommendation. But the federal, you know, the National Park Service usually goes along with what the state says. I mean, there have been some extraordinary cases where it might be do something differently, but usually it goes along. The worst it might do is, you know, ask for some extra piece of information or, you know, ask to tweak this or that, but they don't usually reject things.
All right. And I guess since the last time I spoke to you, is there anything new on this that should worry people or give them hope that this is going to go through?
I don't think there's anything that should worry people because there just aren't any restrictions on the National Register. You know, it's honorific and it allows you to have tax benefits. So those to me are the two greatest things. You know, as I was saying in the meeting, we talked a lot about the tax benefits, but also, you know, the marketing possibilities of giving you the prestige that this town is on the National Register. Maybe it's a good tourist destination, you know. Maybe you can get people to come here. I mean, it's a fantastic train ride from Chicago, you know.
Sounds like it might be a train ride you just took.
Yes, and I'm taking tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Exactly right.
What are there a lot of national historic, I guess, how many historic districts are there in the country? Do you know?
Wow, I don't have any idea.
Or in
honestly.
The state, maybe?
No, I really don't know. Well, let me think. In the state of Illinois, I mean, I've seen lists of them. They go on for quite a few pages, but lots of them are individual. They're just started in maybe the last 10 years, doing a lot of the commercial downtowns. We've worked on them, and we've nominated some some suburban ones. Like we nominated Hinsdale, for example, in the Chicago area. We nominated one in Rockford. Where else have we done? Naperville, you know. There's been a number of them that people have been looking. We're going to be working on Glen Ellen next after we finish Macomb. Those are all downtown districts that we've worked on, commercial districts.
I guess as far as marketing Macomb, then, I mean, what would make it different than another historic district, any other historic district in the state?
I think the courthouse, really. I think that's what's really remarkable about it. And the square, you know, it just makes it so much more interesting. You know, I know I mentioned Woodstock in the meeting because I took a trip to Woodstock in October. You know, they had a little farmer's market around the square. Well, we went to get apples. Of course, it was a bad season for apples, obviously. Yeah. But then we went right straight into Woodstock. We went to the Opera House, and, you know, they had an exhibit in there, and we went in and looked at that and walked around the farmer's market, and then we went to a little restaurant in some cutesy old building. And, you know, it was a nice Saturday afternoon. And we just went there because I knew it was a historic district.
We all go there every Groundhog's Day.
Oh, yes, of course. This was a little, not too much warmer. That was a really cold October the day we went there.
So can you talk just a little bit about the tax credits. I know you explained them to the group, but I mean, how would businesses on the square benefit?
Well, if businesses do improvements on their building that are equal to the adjusted basis, which is the value of the building minus the value of the land, they can take 20% of the amount of money that they spend on those improvements and take it as a direct credit against their taxes owed on their federal income tax statement. So the money can be spent on all kinds of things, and we had a long discussion here in the meeting today about spending it on things that actually improve the physical structure or update the physical structure of the building because it's wearing out. And so the money doesn't have to be spent on restoring a historic feature. Not at all. In fact, some of the mechanical and technical and systems are some of the best things to spend it on because these buildings need to have those systems upgraded so that they can last another 100 years or whatever it is. So, you know, foundations and roofs and mechanical systems and plumbing and bathrooms and stuff like that are all very eligible expenses for this.
If you're in a National Historic District, can you change the facade of your building, the appearance of it? What are there any restrictions on that?
Probably the greatest restrictions on a building in a historic district are on the facade, the part that's visible from the street, because the point of the incentive is to give a taxpayer-subsidized benefit to the owner, and there should be some public benefit. And the public benefit has been defined as the ability to walk down a street and see buildings that represent our common history and our common architectural heritage, and that there's a value that people believe in that. And so the restrictions are on facades, on windows, on cornices, storefront elements. But, I mean, a lot of storefronts have been altered over the years, so there's a lot more leeway on what you can do to a storefront because very few original ones exist. But on the upper floors, it's pretty important to keep the kind of windows you have and to if possible, keep cornices if you have them, and in some cases you can even replace them. But one of the interesting things about Macomb is some of these buildings that were like sheathed in this stuff in the 40s and 50s, and I think there's a real opportunity in terms of the tax credits to be able to peel some of that off, kind of like the exhibit building did on East Side Square.
The Art Center.
The Art Center, yes, thank you, the Art Center. Kind of like that, where they peeled off that, and, you know, they can see the original brick and bring back the historic character, and it's really, really has a possibility of having a great impact on the whole square, I think.
That metal might have actually helped preserve the bricks, too.
It could have. It could have, yeah.
Do the buildings need to look like they're from, say, the 1890s, or is this just sort of a general historic feel you need?
It's a long time period, so what I would say is each building should be true to itself. You know, if it was an 1860s building, it should, you know, look as much like an 1860s. If it's a 1920s, or if it's like a Woolworths, which is 1936, it should look like 1936, you know. You want it, any building built between 1834 and 1959, you know, you want to preserve the character of the time period that it represents.
All right. Anything you want to add about this?
I don't know. I think I talked a lot, didn't I?
how or when will Macomb know?
Well, you'll hear right after February 22nd meeting, then you'll know what the council in Springfield said. So that's an important step. And like I said, for the most part after that, it's perfunctory. It's just a matter of timing. So I expect you should know maybe in May.
You get
a certificate.
Okay. That group in Springfield will meet and make decisions or recommendations that same day.
Yes, they will. They will, right then on the spot. They'll have gotten the nomination ahead of time, and they'll all have read it and come prepared with whatever questions or comments they have, and they'll discuss it for, I'll present it for shorter than I wanted to hear, maybe like 10 minutes, I think. I get 10, 15 minutes, and then they discuss it for maybe half an hour, and then they make their recommendation.
All right. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.